This is Gohan from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 93 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of August 30th, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers last week's important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and Dill. Dill, No Way Home trailer out.
Crazy.
Did you love it?
Crazy.
Or... Now, it
as
showed...
As I saw that goblin...
William Dafoe's laugh with
the
pumpkin bomb?
The laugh and the bomb, I was like, yeah. Yes!
Now, they didn't show any of the other Spider-Man. Do you think they did that on purpose? 100%, right?
Yes.
Have you seen the internet controversy? So when Peter Parker is standing on the car and Doc Ock comes up, he's wearing the same suit that Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker is wearing in his movie. Yep. People believe that it's actually Tobey Maguire and they CGI Tom Holland over it on purpose. Because
if
you think about Infinity War trailer and Endgame trailer...
Yeah, they did something with the Hulk.
They hit a bunch of characters or they faked a bunch of characters that weren't actually in the film. So people are assuming they did that with this.
Well, that goes to my other thing, because if you notice in the scene with Doctor Strange and when Doctor Strange is on that train...
Yes.
He's wearing the Eye Agamotto,
which
doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Snapped.
Right.
By Thanos.
Do you think he could get another one, though?
No, because that was what held the time stone.
Right,
and
right.
They both got taken. He crushed the Eye of Agamotto. It took the stone out.
Yeah.
So that doesn't exist. So that was obviously something different. People are speculating that that's not even Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
at the
they think
of
it's Mysterio or Mephisto or whatever.
Yeah. I've heard it could either be Mysterio. People are thinking it could be a clone of Doctor Strange because at the end of WandaVision, technically, they're supposed to meet up before that movie takes place.
Yeah.
So they're thinking he could have just left a clone of himself there. Because people are speculating, Doctor Strange is very particular about what he does.
Yes.
Why would he just do a crazy spell like that knowing it has all these repercussions?
Yep.
And that specifically Wong said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, we know he breaks the rules a little bit.
All the time.
He went into the library and grabbed all that shit he wasn't supposed to grab.
Yeah.
But they were like, just because they defeated Thanos and all that shit happened with Peter Parker, like, he still doesn't know the kid. He's still a 17. Well, why would he do such a crazy risking spell for this one kid?
I will say, though, this is the same dude who was driving really fast on the...
Well, that was cocky
doctor. And decided to text and drive.
That was cocky surgeon Dr. Strange. This isn't, you know, the Sorcerer Supreme Dr. Strange. I don't know. He's still sketchy to me at the beginning of that trailer.
He is. That's kind of where I'm reserved, too.
I have my theory for how they're bringing these villains in.
Yep.
My theory is that when he says the specific words, no one will remember Peter Parker. The Green Goblin and Doc Ock pretty much died trying to expose Peter Parker for being Peter Parker. So if they don't even know their own timelines, Peter Parker is Spider-Man, technically their deaths wouldn't collide. Like, they wouldn't die.
Right.
They never knew that he was Peter
Parker. Right, because they died trying to expose him.
So now if no one... And he said, just Peter Parker, which... Would technically be any
Peter Parker
variant of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So that's how they don't die, and now they're coming into this movie, I feel like.
Okay. I have two kind of theories. One is we don't really get to see Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, but Tom Holland gets thrown into their world replacing them, which is why he is wearing the suit
that's a good theory.
Tobey Maguire was wearing. So he's almost getting thrown into different timelines.
But it doesn't seem like... Because he still talks to Zendaya just as much in that trailer. It would almost...
Right.
How would he talk to her?
I think he talks to her before, then gets thrown into their world, has to fight his way out of like one world, then gets thrown into Tobey Maguire's world, fights his way out of Tobey Maguire's world.
I mean, it makes sense. I just feel like if he had to fight all these worlds, that'd be a lot.
Well, I don't think he fights
them
all at one time. I think he has to fight them one after another.
I mean, how are they going to crush that all in a two-hour movie?
They'll find a way, right?
And that's supposedly the last Spider-Man movie.
Right.
So.
And again, No Way Home, do you think this is it? He's done, right?
What's done, though? It's not like he dies.
I don't think he dies. I think he leaves the MCU. And
how do they get him to have a good exit?
So that's the thing.
It's not like he can lose his powers because all the shit's
I think Strange fixes the timeline, but when he fixes it, it leaves Tom Holland out of this timeline now. And now he is in the Sony timeline, and this is how they can introduce Spider-Man into all the Sony movies with all the Sony villains,
which I'm still cool with.
Right.
I'd love to see him with Venom and Carnage.
I need to see him with Venom.
That would be awesome.
The only problem I have with that is I want Tom Hardy to be Wolverine. And you can't if he's Venom now.
I don't even know who the hell could replace. Besides Tom
Hardy. You're screwed.
I don't know who could replace Wolverine.
It doesn't. Even if they did do Tom Hardy as Wolverine, I still think people are going to hate it because everyone's just going to love Hugh Jackman.
I'm still seeing rumors that supposedly they're going to bring back Iron Man, but obviously not Robert Downey Jr., but they're going to bring back another
variant.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could give us a new Spider-Man in MCU.
But that's the thing. Technically, Sony owns Spider-Man, and that's what screws it.
I mean, even if we lose Spider-Man, they could. If they brought back someone, if they brought back another Iron Man, I think people would be okay with it.
I just don't know
how they're going to feel about the replacement.
That's what I'm saying. Because, again, now you have to, like, almost admit at this point, right? Like,
but that would be the point, though. They would need him to be so different
to
fit into this new Avengers group.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the same type of Tony.
Right. And we have, what, Shang-Chi this weekend?
Everyone loves seeing a different type of Loki with the female.
Yeah.
Everyone loved her. She was a fan favorite character.
Sylvie or whatever, yeah.
And obviously they play the same character, but they're way different.
Way different,
so
yep.
I don't see why people couldn't love a... The question is, if she was a male, if she was a dude Loki, that's, I feel like, when the comparison would have came in, like, which one of these Lokis is really better?
Have you seen the interview where they asked him before the Loki series premiered, but they had already taped it, and they're like, do you think you get a love interest? And he says something like, before you can get a love interest, you have to really figure out how to love yourself. And technically, he fell in love with himself.
Yeah.
I
heard he's a really good dude in real life.
Oh, yeah.
I heard he's, like, one of the nicest dudes, like... He'll do, like, movies for free. Like, he just doesn't care.
He did, they did, like, the, you know, they sit down the cast, and, you know, they're asking the cast all these questions, and no one could answer, and he was, like, ripping out the answers, like, immediately.
I heard he's, like, a really smart dude, I heard he's, like, just a really...
Tom Hiddleston.
All around, like, just a great dude, like...
Well, I just saw Free Guy.
Yeah, I want to see that so bad.
Spoilers, there's a Captain America cameo in it.
Is there?
Yeah.
Like a real Captain America?
Chris Evans and everything.
Oh, okay.
it's literally like 3 seconds, but it's funny.
I want to see that specifically because the girl, the main girl, is from the show that I watch.
What show?
Killing Eve.
Oh, she's...
She's the assassin.
I got you.
She's a fucking badass.
It's so funny because...
She kills like 19 people in the first episode.
When they show her outside of the video game, she looks like such a normal person, but in the video game, they obviously dress her up to look like an action hero.
I want
to
see that.
That movie was supposed to drop like 6 months ago.
Oh, so long ago.
Venom got delayed too, right?
Yeah, till 2022, right?
What did we say?
Delays
I think
your
we
favorite
had
word.
This, I think we had this talk 3 weeks ago. Venom was coming out in 2021.
So I honestly thought they pushed it back just so it'd be closer to
but
Halloween.
It already got pushed back from September to October, and now they're pushing it back another 3 months. Like, why?
I at this point, I don't know if it's because they're worried about a second closing, like another shutdown.
Yeah.
And I know because of the Scarlett Johansson lawsuit, now everyone's worried that people are going to sue if they go to the video on demand release.
I thought it was weird. Cause, I mean, not that it was weird, but Scarlet Witch actress, she supported Black Widow's.
Well, because Scarlett Johansson lost millions of dollars.
No,
from
I mean, I agree with her lawsuit, but I'm saying the fact that Elizabeth Olsen agreed with it, knowing that she's still in contracts with them, I felt like was weird of her to do.
Right.
Not that
false.
She can't support her friend, but being in contract to do another, you know, whatever movie, series, whatever she's in
100%,
I feel like it was a bold move to try to support that. Because everyone's, you know, dissing on Scarlett Johansson now.
There's another rumor going around that the No Way Home film is supposed to be the way to introduce Sony characters into the Marvel universe, which I think is definitely not. I don't think Sony's going to put their movies into the Marvel universe. It would be better if they did. I don't think they will. But they were saying, and then the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is supposed to be how they're going to bring the Fox characters.
I already heard that. They pretty much confirmed that Scarlet Witch is going to fight a major X-Men character in that movie.
In the
Doctor Strange movie.
I hope, because, like, technically Doctor Doom has to probably be your
Doctor
next
Doom's
big bad.
If they're bringing in Kang, Doctor Doom's going to pop up at some point because Kang goes back in time to steal the schematics of Doctor Doom's... Like suit and shit. Yep. Like they meet in whatever comic they meet in.
Right.
And Kang the Conqueror is a descendant of Mr. Fantastic. He is a
Richards.
Yeah, Richards.
Yep.
He's Nathaniel Richards of the 31st century. So he is his, you know,
great grandson or whatever.
Yeah. So that's why I think they're gonna introduce all that to mix in with Kang.
Yeah. It's gonna.
Because I'm assuming they're going to need everyone to fight that dude. Well, they might even bring in the Silver Surfer to fight this dude.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see the Silver Surfer.
He's jacked as shit.
He is, but like...
I'd like to see him be
a good character.
Better guy. Yeah. Because, I mean, Kang's going to be a problem.
Kang and then Doctor Doom. And once they finally bring in Doctor Doom,
Doctor Doom's going to be a problem. When they do him right, he's going to be a problem.
Because like everyone keeps saying, oh, it must be Galactus next. I don't even know if I want to see that.
We already know it's Kang.
Yeah.
We already know it's Kang.
Well, Kang is the villain for the Ant-Man and Wasp
movie. No, he's going to be the villain for, I think, a bunch of shit.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. They're going to make him another thing.
Well, because you know he's a...
He's stronger than... He killed Thanos like 4 times in the comics.
Well, because even at the end of Loki, right? Have you seen Loki?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, he goes into the next world, and it's Kang the Conqueror that owns it now. So, it's going to get all...
Because I started reading up on Kang. Like, they fight, like, 19 versions of this dude. So, even if we see him die in one movie,
right,
he's
going to
pop right back up in the next one as a different Kang.
And to be fair, he said that, right?
He said that. I will... Reincarnation, baby. Like, he's going to be back. They're going to... It's not going to just be a one-off. Like, he's not going to just die in Ant-Man. Like, he's going to be... I think he's going to stretch out.
Yeah.
I think they're going to see a little bit of him in Doctor Strange.
Yep.
I don't know if you'll see a lot of it. Almost like Thanos popping up at the end of... Whatever
Avengers
movie
1.
He popped up at.
And he said, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, like that type of cameo we're going to get.
Yeah, and that was like 15 years
in the
making.
And then he'll really start, whatever movie he pops off in, like Infinity War for Thanos, that's going to be like, you know, he's going to be a multiple movie show character.
I am, as awful as it sounds, not even super excited who the next villain is. I'm just ready for them to include the Fox characters.
I would love to get some X-Men in
here. The X-Men something. Just give me something.
I would love to get some X-Men. I mean, they have to because... If they start diving into Scarlet Witch's backstory, original comics, Magneto is her father.
Right, but I don't think that matters anymore. Because
it matters.
I don't, because they gave her that, what is it, Scovia? Where is she from?
Just because she was there doesn't mean she was born there.
It's true. You're right. And she could have been taken at birth. It, you know, there's a lot of things that they could,
They gave you a little backstory about her, but they could expand her.
Right, because they even kind of went back and rewrote her story in WandaVision, saying that she basically always had that power.
Yeah.
And the stone just, like, resonated.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, MCU is really getting interesting.
Yeah. Are you excited at all for Shang-Chi?
I like Shang-Chi. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think the Eternals is going to be good.
That's the one I don't care about.
I thought it looked good.
I think it looks good. But I have like zero connection to any of them,
and
that's
why. You don't know anything about them.
But I think it's going to be fun.
Maybe after Shang-Chi, maybe it'll make more sense. If they throw something in about them at the end of Shang-Chi.
I'm so excited for end credit scenes that actually tease, and you know, like that's what I want now.
It's going to be exciting. MCU was, I mean, that first chapter was long.
Yep.
It was good.
It was great.
And this one's going to, I mean, they're already. That's the thing. With the first series, like they really had to pop it off to get attention at the beginning with Iron Man.
Yep.
Shit like that.
Well, because the first Captain America movie, I don't care what you say, sucks.
I didn't mind it.
I think it's...
Obviously, it's not as good as Iron Man 1.
Right, right.
It's not... I like the Hulk movie, the original Hulk movie. That
I did,
good.
Too. I didn't
that
mind
was,
it. With Edward Norton, yes.
That was fine. But, like, they had to really start it off then.
I thought the first Thor was a little slow.
I haven't even watched the first because you said that they were bad, so I didn't even watch
the first two are bad, I think.
That's what I heard. Ragnarok was great. That was
Ragnarok
one of the
is
best
amazing,
movies.
Yes, yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, they had to start that off from scratch. Now they already have this great foundation.
Yes.
And now they can just, all they got to do is take it farther.
Right,
they don't have to start from the bottom and hope people like it. They already know everyone's hooked.
That's why I will say Tobey Maguire is the GOAT. He didn't have this foundation.
No,
he
nothing.
Built it up from himself.
Nothing.
Exactly.
And he's the only Spider-Man that shoots shit out of the wrist, all right? Which is weird because it shows Garfield get bit, but he still uses electronics.
So technically...
Does he just use the electronics to amplify his already power? Or?
No, so technically, I am pretty sure even in the comics, Spider-Man is supposed to use electronics to shoot the web.
So.
I'm pretty sure he does.
So
and
you think they just messed up for Toby?
I don't think it shows
Garfield still get bit. What did the spider give him? Just the abilities?
The abilities, yes. Like the super
just
strength.
Just the super strength. All right.
You can climb on the walls by yourself.
I don't think he could. He had to click that button to go up that wall.
Oh,
he clicked that little red button on his wrist, and then he started climbing the wall.
See, that's what I think is different about
But he
about
definitely
Garfield.
Got the super strength, I think, from the bite. Because he did something after that.
And your
that.
Flexibility and your reflexes
the
and all
sense
those.
Too,
yes.
The spider sense.
Yep. That's the other thing. We haven't really technically seen... Oh, well, I guess... You finally
and
get.
It's hard to tell. Is Tom Holland, is he just all electronics? Because he took a fucking shot from Winter Soldier metal arm and ate it.
No,
because
he's supposed to have the strength.
How did he get it? It never says he got bit by a spider.
He told Tony Stark that's how he got his powers.
Did he, though?
Yeah, he said he was bit, and then he started like experiencing weird things. And that's remember his shitty homemade costume he had?
Yeah.
He had the goggles, and that he was like, it keeps my senses in. So instead of just giving you that, because that would have been the third time we saw someone get bit, technically fourth if you're counting Spider-Verse.
Well, that's why I said they were kind of different. Like, obviously, Toby was straight wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Garfield had. I thought he could shoot out of his wrist because I saw him get bit.
He has the
I seen the clip of him now building the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it just amplified. Like, if he could shoot one web out of his wrist, now he can shoot five.
No.
And then I thought Tom Holland was just straight electronics.
No, so, and then even Tom Holland built himself the web.
Yeah, yeah. I know he's, I mean, Peter Parker's always supposed to be technologically smart.
Yes,
so
yep.
It makes sense, but like,
and then
I was just curious how he took a fucking shot from Winter Soldier. Because
he's supposed to have the super
strength. It's like a 17-year-old kid just.
Brooklyn.
Like, they were like.
Or Queens.
Literally,
no,
him and
Queens.
Falcon couldn't take on Spider-Man by themselves.
Oh, listen, this gets me the most mad. It's technically the first movie you see Tom Holland Spider-Man. He beats the shit out of the Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yep.
But then in his own movie, he can't beat an old man who's a construction worker who just has wings. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, no, they had any movie that he like cameo, like, and even Infinity War, he's fighting these crazy ass battles, like,
yep,
against like people that are just blowing up planets.
Yeah,
and he's struggling against Mysterio, who uses special effects.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, not that Mysterio, because Mysterio is no joke. I mean, he had him run into a train.
Right, and he was shooting multiple turrets at him.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I from what I've been hearing, apparently that trailer leaked all six Sinister Six, and we just didn't see it.
So
apparently there was one scene where you see a sandstorm. That's Sandman.
So I went back and watched it. I don't know if it's a sandstorm or an explosion. And if it's an explosion, it might not be the Sandman.
But if it's an explosion, they could have made that look like that on purpose to throw you off from Sandman.
100%. And then the other thing people aren't sure about is you can see like an arm come flying at him, and people swear that's Lizard.
Yeah.
But I've seen like slow, and I still can't tell if that's Lizard or not.
I didn't see Electro in it.
It shows his electricity. Now, the other thing is, supposedly, remember in his movie, they made him blue. They're not going to do that for this one. They're going to bring him back to his normal yellow, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Blue's fine.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, the thing that did screw them is, if you remember when Jamie Foxx signed the contract to do this film, he screwed up and he tweeted out a photo of all three Spider-Men with his Electro, and he said, let's run it back. And then they made him delete it, so that was already dumb and kind of.
Yeah.
And now all the toys are out at Target. Like, you can literally go into a Target right now, and they have Spider-Man No Way Home, and it's Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, and the back of the package calls it Variant Spider-Man, and says the description is Variant Spider-Man comes from a similar universe to fight villain, and it's just like, all right, so you're...
I feel like at this point, I feel like there's no way we don't see three Spider-Man.
You have to, right?
There's no way they don't. We already know
it's way too hype.
We already got Dr. Ock.
Yeah.
We already know we got Green Goblin, the real Green Goblin.
William Dafoe.
So there's just no way they don't throw it in there. There's no way we don't see three Spider-Man on screen.
This is technically only the teaser trailer.
I don't see why they would. See, that's the thing, though. I don't know why you would put the Sinister Six in if this is the last movie.
Unless this is the last movie, so you go out with a bang with the Sinister Six.
But then it's like you set that up for because that Sinister Six should be way longer than a movie's problem. You're not taking on six of these dudes in one movie.
But if you think about it, technically it is longer than one movie because it's Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, and then...
He's not fighting six of those dudes. I mean, if they have all three of them, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's going to be so wild. Imagine we see three dudes swinging.
Dude, I just want Tobey Maguire. It's all I want. I don't even care.
Tobey. I don't like Garfield. I don't like him.
I don't mind him.
I don't like him.
Okay, we hate him.
We hate Garfield.
All right, let's take a short
Spider-Man
break.
To me.
He's not. You know
he's
what?
Not
he's
Spider-Man.
The problem, I think he's a good Spider-Man. I think he's a horrible Peter Parker.
I was going to say the opposite.
Really?
I like he sounds like a goofy little Peter Parker when he talks. Cocky. Mm-hmm. He's got the cocky attitude.
Yeah.
Personally,
but that's why I thought he worked as Spider-Man, because he always has those quips.
Yeah, but he says it when he's just Peter Parker too.
Yeah.
Personally, yeah. I think Tobey Maguire is a better Spider-Man than he is a Peter Parker.
Really?
He's too old. Even in the first movie, you can tell that dude is not a 19 or 18-year-old kid. Like, he is 35. At least Garfield looked a little younger, and Tom Holland obviously looks like he could play a high school kid.
What really pisses me off is I think it's Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, right?
Definitely a better Spider-Man for sure.
It was Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movie. They give him the basketball, right? And he runs and he does a full flip and dunks the ball. If I was any kid in that high school, I'd be like, that guy's Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man. He just front flipped and the ball never left his fucking palm. That's Spider-Man.
And how did no one figure it out?
See, that's why I didn't like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shit like that.
Yeah,
that's
was dumb.
I thought Tobey Maguire is a great Spider-Man.
Yeah,
all his fights are good.
Yeah,
and his movie's like way more, I feel like, realistic than those two other
movies. We just
movies.
Don't talk about three. That's all.
Yeah, three. I didn't even mind three.
But the dancing scene.
That was great. I honestly didn't even mind 3. I liked Venom because that was the first time we saw Venom in a movie.
Yes, yep.
Obviously, Topher Grace isn't my first pick.
Yeah.
And they kind of fucked. I didn't even think the way they did him was bad.
Again, you can't go back now and say
and
they
Black
did
Spider-Man
bad.
Was dope.
Hell yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
First time you seen him crawling on the wall.
Yeah.
I watched that in IMAX the day it dropped. Like, that was a crazy scene seeing him in the black. I don't care what you say. 3 was decent. I didn't mind Harry as the Hobgoblin.
He was decent. Yeah,
that was a good little add villain to that. Yeah. I think if they just
and then they teamed up.
If they got rid of Sandman and just made it about Venom, that would have been.
Yeah, Sandman was a tough.
They just added too many bad guys.
There was no direction.
There was no direction.
Yeah,
but I thought the movie was decent, and I just seeing Venom for the first time, I thought
it was so cool.
So like, obviously, he doesn't do Tom Hardy justice.
No,
Tom Hardy is definitely the GOAT Venom. But.
Yeah, well, there's not much competition, no.
Topher Grace or Tom Hardy? You pick. Hey, we got the animated Spider series. That Venom was savage.
That he was way cooler.
Way cooler.
All right, let's take a short little break and be back with the news. All right, we're back with the news. Quick news of the week. Monster Hunter Rise is getting a Street Fighter crossover released on August 27th. Players can unlock a special layered armor for Akuma. Netflix reveals their first look for their Cowboy Bebop live-action series. Spider-Man No Way Home trailer breaks 24-hour viewing record with 355.5 million views, beating the previous record holder Endgame at 289 million. The power of
that's
possibly
so
Tobey Maguire,
crazy.
Dude.
That's so crazy.
Well, that's the thing. Like, people don't realize it. Spider-Man is way more popular than the actual Avengers itself.
Yeah, because it was around longer.
Well, not only that, Spider-Man has all the good villains.
He does.
If
he
you
does
think about it,
villains.
He has all of the good villains. All the actual iconic villains are just Spider-Man villains.
Even if you throw it back to the cartoon. What cartoon were you watching the most, Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
He was the dopest out of, like, because they didn't
he's
have
really
good.
Their Batman. Like,
they didn't. I was going to say, they didn't have good, like, just a Captain America show or
but, like,
Iron Man show.
Who do you put against Captain America? Like, there's no, like, real iconic Captain
Spider-Man
America
definitely
villain.
Has the best villains.
He's got, like, a whole cast of them.
He shares a lot of villains with Daredevil.
Daredevil, which
I like.
And, again, we didn't even get into, like, possibility of Matt Murdock showing up in this.
Oh,
I don't
Matt
know.
Murdock, baby.
Let's keep going because I don't think we'll ever get to the new Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster release on PC and mobile on September 8th. Assassin's Creed Odyssey has received a 60 frames per second update for PS5 and Xbox Series X/S. And on September 1st, a number of streamers are set to go on strike across the platform of Twitch in bid to push Twitch to do more about hate raids and hate speech directed towards various marginalized streamers on the platform. Hashtag a day off of Twitch. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
So the new thing going on with Twitch right now is wild, where people are setting up bots to basically spam people of color's, like,
chats
with, like, the N-word and hate speeches and everything, even when they're offline. And why you do it when they're offline...
You get notifications, right?
What happens is they don't know because they're offline, but it fills up their whole chat, and then what they're doing is screenshotting the chat and sending it to Twitch, so Twitch bans them because it's your responsibility, even when you're offline, to clean up your chat.
Yeah.
So they're double fucking them by doing this.
That's crazy.
It's one of those things that you think we're making progress, and then you hear about shit like this, and you're like,
why?
What is
the point of that?
100%. Like, you have to really be a piece of shit to even think of it.
That sounds like the guy that hacked T-Mobile just because he said the security was bad.
It makes no sense.
Hacked the whole thing and leaked everyone's info. I just wanted to show you guys that the security was this bad.
Right,
yeah. Like, oh, you could have just told us that without leaking all the info.
Who
does that? It was a 21-year-old kid from America. Like, who does that?
And then he ruined his life.
He's 21. No, he did it anonymously. They don't even know who he is yet. Well, they know who he is, but I don't know if they can arrest him.
Yo, absolutely.
Because when they got the info, he was anonymous. He came forward to them and said, "Hey, I hacked these people."
You know what's gonna happen is like
you got hacked too. You got hacked too, buddy. 50 million users.
Those Russian bots work so hard; they deserve it.
All info leaked, personal, socials.
I'm sure they already have my social, my mother's maiden name. Like, it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. First news story of the week. This is our biggest one. Gamescom opening night live, the biggest announcements by Michael McRoeder on Polygon.com. This was hosted by Jeff Keighley. He throws his show together every year now. First, it started off with the Saints Row reboot revealed. There's a new Saints Row, and it's called Saints Row. Developer Volition showed off the new look and feel of Saints Row coming in 2022 in a debut trailer at Gamescom 2021. The new Saints Row is coming February 25th, 2022 for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S, and Windows PC via the Epic Game Store. So they're rebooting the franchise because the last one had you as the president who had superpowers fighting aliens. So to again, this was supposed to be like the Grand Theft Auto competition.
Yeah.
So, and they've gone way too left field with it. So now they're rebooting it, smaller cast, smaller, like, you know, trying to get it down on the ground more. It's not going to be superpowers. You're not going to have all the crazy thing from Saints Row 4 was, I mean, Saints Row 3 ended up getting a little ridiculous with like Get Out of Hell, yeah, where your clan leader died, so you go to hell and fight the devil to revive. Yeah.
I heard Saints Row 1 and 2 were like awesome.
Saints Row 1 and 2, honestly, they're all pretty good.
That's what I heard. Because I've never heard a problem about those games.
So a lot of people are pissed that they're like rebooting it, but I think you have to because you went, you know, like, what else are you going to do? You're going to have them in space now?
I know, you can't, but yeah. You got to bring it back to the roots. Let's mm-hmm. redo it.
This next game was a game that has been rumored and we've talked about a couple times now. This is Midnight Suns is a new Marvel strategy game from XCOM creators. Fryaxis is making a Marvel superheroes game inspired but very different from XCOM. Marvel's Midnight Sun is led by Jake Solomon, designer of XCOM Enemy Unknown and XCOM 2. It features characters like Iron Man, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Blade, Ghost Runner, and Wolverine in turn-based tactical battles. It's coming to console and PC March 2022.
I'm interested.
So it's, from what I understand, because they didn't really do that great of a job with the trailer. Like, the trailer looks great, but it didn't do a good job explaining the gameplay to you. So there's Lilith, some, like, queen of the underworld who was resurrected.
It's like the devil's girl.
Yep. So she's the main villain. You play a character, a created character, that is apparently her, either her daughter or son, depending on what you create. And you get to, as you level up, basically create your own superhero through it. But your powers are kind of tied to, like, the dark world. And then you get two partners from the Marvel cast that you can pick as your team. And again, it's like Final Fantasy Tactics combat, it sounds like.
I'm into it.
And then when you are in between battles, you get to travel your base, talk to the other superheroes and kind of build your relationship with them, and depending on how strong your relationships are with them, when you take them into battle, you get different abilities and bonuses. It sounds good.
I'm into it.
The costumes are weird because I guess you have to wear certain armor, so even the superheroes have different costumes.
Yeah,
like they all have gold and black suits, even like Wolverine and Captain America, and it looks cool. You can tell that they really want to make sure you know this is its own thing, not tied to any of the other Marvel. Because I believe it's an original story and everything, too.
I'm into it.
And
I love tactics gameplay.
2022 is getting packed.
2022 is going to be off the chain.
Halo Infinite gets a release date and a new controller and console. Microsoft made it official at Gamescom. Halo Infinite is coming to Xbox and Windows PC on December 8th, 2022. I guessed... Oh, 2021. Thank you. I guessed, if you remember, November 15th. Now, the console...
Do you remember what my guess was? Because I probably said December.
I think you said, like, 2022.
I think I said December.
Did you?
If not December, I said 2022.
22. Well, I mean, they really released it the last day possible at
Christmas,
that point.
Baby, I told you.
But the controller and the console they announced is coming out November 15th. I think, tinfoil hat, it was supposed to come November 15th, and it got delayed again.
I'm sure.
But they never announced the November 15th date, so it's not technically delayed.
Yeah, it's delayed.
Yeah, right? Like,
I've been hearing rumors that a PS5 Pro's coming out like in 2 months, so I don't know.
How? You can't even get a PS5 now.
I've been hearing.
What would a PS5 Pro do?
I don't know, but I've been hearing the rumor.
I've seen a leaked design. I don't know. It looks like this PS5, but slimmer, and it's black.
Oh, so there is a PS5 revision coming out that supposedly... I guess they over-engineered the original, and this one doesn't power it up. It's just, like, slightly smaller, but it doesn't have any different... And it has something to do with the cooling. Okay. So it stays slightly colder.
I just saw the leaks at PS5 Pro, and I was like, we'll see what happens. I heard it's going to get leaked, or it's going to get announced in November.
Soon. Well, it's probably coming with the Switch Pro.
Could be. I'm sure it'll come in 2020. I just don't see how they... I don't see how they drop a new system.
No.
Being able to get this one out.
Like, what do you even need a pro for at this point, you know? Like, it's not
still
even...
Still can't give me games out.
That's what I'm saying. So there's not even a game that doesn't run on the
PS5.
But
there'll still be 10 million people that go out and buy it.
Bots?
Yo. I don't even want to talk about how many bots are going to buy it.
Horizon Forbidden West delayed. Horizon Zero Dawn updated. Guerrilla Games made another release date official at Gamescom. Horizon Forbidden West is coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 February 2022. I still can't believe they couldn't give a date, though. Like, they didn't give, like, the... You know it's February, but, like, no day.
That means it's still not even... It could be March.
There's no way they gave the February this late. And because, again, this was supposed to be a 2021 game.
They gave... Oh, I was going to say they gave us November for Halo, but I guess they didn't.
No, they never gave us November for Halo.
They gave us October for Venom.
Yeah.
Now it's January.
They did say fall 2021, so it is technically delayed, because December is not fall.
No, it's not.
That's winter.
So, yeah. It is delayed.
Yes. Yeah. A little later than originally planned, to make up for the bad but expected news about Forbidden West's release date, Guerrilla released a new patch for Horizon Zero Dawn, enabling 60 frames per second gameplay on PS5. I mean, it's a nice way to get back into it.
Boo.
I know. Well, I think it's... I'm pretty sure Horizon Zero Dawn is already on PC. And I guarantee you that is at least 60 frames per second if it's on PC.
150?
Yeah.
We don't do anything for less than 120.
Death Stranding Director's Cut has a bunch of new stuff. Want some new fun Death Stranding Director's Cut for PlayStation 5? Has that and more. Kojima Productions revealed in a nearly 9-minute video preview of new gameplay features. In the extended look at Director's Cut, Kojima Production shared a new delivery tools like a cargo launcher and boots that decrease fall damage. Buddy Bot was shown in more detail. It's a new feature that lets Sam Porter bridges carry more cargo or even ride along as Buddy Bot does all the hauling. There's also a firing range where players can practice with weapons and train and compete for high scores. But wait, there's more. So this is weird because they call it Death Stranding Director's Cut, and Kojima came out and was like, they should not have, and he's the producer, director of the game. Yeah. He was like, they shouldn't have called it Director's Cut, because Director's Cut means you added the stuff that was originally cut.
Yeah.
And this isn't stuff that was cut. This is stuff that's being added. So it was never...
I was going to say, it's a good, when they tried doing that ReZero Director's Cut on for anime,
yep,
it wasn't... They didn't change anything. All they did was add episode 1 and episode 2 and made it one episode.
Yeah, so it makes no sense.
It's literally the same story.
So it's just like, so a marketing thing.
Why?
Because it sounds cool, does it not?
I mean, it did, but when me and TT watched the first episode, which was an hour long, it was literally just episode 1 and 2 just combined.
Yeah.
It just never ended.
Right.
It was like...
But it sounds cool, does it not?
I guess. It's
a marketing
tool.
It's
just stupid, dude.
You know Kojima's the director. Well, because every game that they've been releasing is called, like, Director's Cut. Like, the Ghost of Tsushima?
Director's Cut. I don't know. It's just stupid.
We got a first look at Call of Duty Vanguard gameplay. The first gameplay footage for Call of Duty Vanguard makes it look much like a horror game as a World War II shooter. Vanguard's first campaign footage comes from a level in the game set in Stalingrad with the character Polina Petrova, voiced by Laura Bailey, one of the four characters at the heart of Sledgehammer Games' global conflict that spans four theaters of war. So this game takes place after Hitler was assassinated.
Battle of Stalingrad.
But it's basically the idea, because it's historical
suicide.
Fiction that is Hitler basically had lackeys who were under him, and they still tried to continue his mission even after he died.
I'm sure that's possible.
Right, but it didn't actually happen.
Yeah,
go through, but it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
I'll be honest with you. It looks... I mean, it's a Call of Duty game, so it looked really good.
Yeah.
But it's just like... It feels like every other Call of Duty game...
If it's just a campaign trailer, I don't even care.
Yeah, you care about the multiplayer.
Who the fuck cares about the
campaign? I will say there was one cool part where the character was like in a building. The building blew up, so it's like tipping, and she had to like run through the building.
Jesus
as
Christ.
You know, it looked... Again, they always are visually impressive.
Every Call of Duty story mode looks great.
Yep.
It's just like...
They're
just
like
the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
How many times can I just run into a field, kill a bunch of people, go to the next spot, and just do it
so
again?
So that's kind of the joke someone was saying. They were like, so what was World War II like? And someone goes, oh, it was crazy. One guy won it all for us, killed like 9,000 people.
Yeah, because that's what the game is, literally. It's just you, your main character. I mean, sometimes you die, and then you play another guy, but still.
Right, you already killed like 3,000
You already
people.
Killed every single fort, blew them all up. That's why those stories just don't get it going for me anymore.
Persona 5 is crossing over to Super Monkey Ball, following Sonic the Hedgehog, Miles Tails, Prower, Beat from Jet Set Radio, and Kiro from Yakuza as the latest guest star coming to Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania is Morgana from Persona 5. That's right, Sega and Atlas are one, meaning all bets are off as to who's getting in the ball next. They're just going to take, like, again, it's Sega. They have so many, like, actual iconic characters.
Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania.
I know. A lot of people are excited for this game. I've never played a Super Monkey Ball game in my life.
I mean, you can be excited for the game, but that name, though, is just too much.
You don't like it?
Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania is too much.
Well, they'll probably shorten it and call it Super Monkey Ball BM.
That's worse than a Call of Duty Black Ops World at War Black Ops. Like, whatever the frick they tried calling that game, like, stop it. Just call it World at War. World War II, or whatever it was.
This was funny. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge adds April O'Neil as a playable character. If you remember, a couple months ago, we got that, like, beat-em-up side-scroller Ninja Turtle game that looked really good.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's delayed to 2022.
Of course.
They announced that joining Leonardo, Raphael, Michelangelo, and Donatello in the new Konami arcade game beat-em-up is ace reporter and licensed turtle van driver April O'Neil. She's got serious fighting game moves, and she can kick ass just as capable as the rest of the Ninja Turtles. A new gameplay trailer, shown. It comes in, I think, early 2022. I think they said, like, March or February. This is, during the Gamescom, the second game that April O'Neil was announced as a playable character. Do you remember the Nickelodeon...
Yeah, All-Star game, yeah.
She was announced as a playable character in that with CatDog.
That's
so I was 100% because they teased that we were going to get two new characters for that announce.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the Avatar and Korra.
Yeah, that would have been
still solid. She leaked, or Korra leaked on the cover art, but she hasn't been officially announced. So I was totally expecting her. April O'Neil was all left field, which is crazy to
That's
me.
That's weird to me.
Because the four turtles are not playable. Only two of them are announced. So it's two of them plus April O'Neil.
Which is weird, but...
And, like, wouldn't you expect Casey Jones?
Give me Shredder.
Shredder would have been cool, yeah.
Give me Shredder. I want to play with Shredder.
Or Splinter.
He's kind of old.
But that's funny, no?
I'd rather play with Shredder.
With the cane? Yeah. Imagine he walked around with the cane and whipped your ass.
Asses, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. They can throw her in. I'm cool with it. But, like, I feel like they could have did Shredder. I feel like they could have did a better option, but it's cool.
Right? Yeah, you're right. I agree. Shredder would have probably been. Because how many villains do they even have in this game? I don't think any.
Or they should throw in the last Ronin ninja from the timeline of all the dead ones. My boy Michelangelo, I called it. I knew
he
was
going to be him.
From day one, I said it.
He's the leader.
He's the funniest. Because it said that this person...
Oh, I lied. You're right. Michelangelo.
It said that this person was going to be... It was going to be... I figured... I was like, if Michelangelo... If everyone else died, he'd be the only one affected that much to be that, like, to switch his... Because he was never the serious dude.
Right.
So for him to be killing people, like, straight up killing people, you'd have to kill his whole all his bros.
Right, because Raphael is already
He's already
super
a hothead.
Leonardo
is too tactical to think like that.
Right.
And Donatello's too smart to go just kill people.
And he's kind of like the nerd. It would have been boring. Like,
that's what I knew it had to be him.
Now, before Gamescom opened at night, we had... an Xbox at Gamescom showcase. This sucked. I'll be so real with you. The problem is they saved a ton of, like, cool stuff for the Gamescom, which was weird because they had their own event and they kind of, like, blew their own event just so the Gamescom would be
marketing.
Better.
It's all marketing.
Marketing. So the biggest announcement, I think, from this is xCloud is coming to Xbox consoles this holiday. Microsoft revealed that it's bringing its xCloud gaming service to both the Xbox One and Series X/S in this holiday season, which will let users stream Game Pass titles before they're even downloading them. So you can, I think it's a good idea if you have, you know, a weaker console, this will let you play the other games that you couldn't download natively and play.
Yeah.
But also if you have an Xbox Series X/S and you want to test out a game, now you don't have to download it and then you can just test it out and figure out if it's even worth it before you download it.
That's true. That's true.
Save all that fucking space.
Does it not take away? Like, if you could just do xCloud.
Yep.
Do you even need Game Pass anymore?
You need the Game Pass. So Game Pass is the subscription that enables
you
to... Yes.
Okay.
But you need Game Pass Ultimate.
I don't understand why they would make you get Game Pass when you could just download the games then. And
so
then
Game
give
Pass
you the option,
lets you download them.
Like, why... I know, that's what I mean, though. Yep. Like, why would you... I don't understand why they would... You can already download the game. Why do you need xCloud then?
So now you don't have to download it to play it. You just stream it.
What do you do with these new speeds? That download takes 10 minutes.
Depending. I mean, some of the games are like 250 gigabytes.
Now you're playing a game that's going to be based off Wi-Fi.
Right.
It could just run shitty because you have shitty Wi-Fi.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, at least you can kind of test it before
you
bother. You
really can't test it because it's not going to run the same as if you download
it. Right. But if you know fundamentally you hate this game, you're not gonna
still.
And then
I feel like they should be two separate things.
It's
like take your pick. Like, hey, if we can't get this guy on Game Pass, maybe we can get him on xCloud.
Yeah,
and then just raise xCloud up because now they kind of just bundle it into the Game Pass price. They don't really make any money off xCloud.
Well, so you need, I believe, because remember, there's different tiers of Game Pass. I think you need Game Pass Ultimate.
$6
$6 a month
compared to them just doing xCloud separate for $10.
Oh well, don't do this because then we'll have a $10 subscription. Mute your mic. You want to talk about
this
that?
This is why
you
I don't work in those big companies because when I say it makes too much sense.
Mute your mic if you're gonna talk like that.
Xbox is gonna be calling me for a job.
Marketing. Forza Horizon 5 adds some slick cars and a new controller. Again,
whack.
People love these games. It's just like not for me. Game Pass gets another flood of new titles. As has become routine for Microsoft, the company used this showcase as a chance to show off its Game Pass subscription service. Most notably, the company announced a handful of brand new titles that will debut on the service, including a slate of indies from Humble Games. Closer look at Dying Light 2. Dying Light 2 looks really good, but again, they screwed it because now it's launching on December 7th, which is a day before Halo. That's a horrible idea.
I wouldn't drop anything even in the month of Halo.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
They're screwing themselves at this point.
Really? Flight Simulator is getting plenty of updates. The team behind the startlingly realistic Flight Simulator detailed a number of updates coming to the game, which includes a new racing mode, series of historic planes, a world update covering Germany, Switzerland, and Australia, and even the addition of electric air taxis that will pave the way for helicopters in a future update. This is one of those games that like people love, but it doesn't look fun at all.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, but
it's just because it's super realistic, I think.
Just go fly a real plane.
So we got to see Age of Empires 4. It's another game that I've never cared about. I know it has like a huge following.
Never heard of it.
So it's for someone. A new action RPG for 2022. One of the few new games reveals was Stray Blade, described as a brutal action RPG with intense combat and adventurous exploration. It's launching next year on Xbox Series X/S, and you can get a glimpse of it. All right, whatever. And then Crusader Kings comes to console. This is another one of those games. I believe last year it released on PC, Crusader Kings 3. It was one of those games that received a 10 out of 10 from like a lot of publications for the rating.
Yeah.
So it's probably a big deal for some, but you have to be into that strategy type game.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if I'm not into Age of Empires, there's no way I'm into this.
Yeah, that's not that big of a news.
But that's that was their slate for this Xbox
game
show.
Literally just saying that it's just getting ported.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. No, seriously.
They kind of screwed themselves with that.
And not only that, it will be available through Game Pass when it launches. So that is like the big news, especially because they
get ported to PS5.
So it's coming to PS5, but if you own an Xbox Series X/S and have Game Pass, you don't pay for it. Where if you have a PS5, you're paying for the damn game.
Price, yeah. Which no one's going to do.
No one. Next news story, Destiny 2 Witch Queen out February 2022 adds weapon crafting. This is crazy because this is like a full add-on to Destiny 2. How old is Destiny 2?
At least 7 years, I feel like.
Right? Like,
I feel like it came out 2014 or 2015.
Destiny 2.
I could be wrong, though. That could be Destiny 1.
No. Destiny 1 was out when I was in high school.
No, I don't think so.
Really? All right, so Destiny 2 launched September 6th, 2017.
Yeah, so I told you. So Destiny 1 was like 2014.
Let me see.
I guarantee you.
September 9th, 2014. You're right.
You, yeah.
Yep.
Because I remember, I was in high school when Isaac was playing Destiny 1.
Yep.
And he played it heavy. And
okay.
I remember as soon as I got out of high school, like a year after high school, Destiny 2 came out, and he was still playing that heavy.
Oh, my God. Well, it's one of those games
been 4 years.
Yeah.
It's been 4 years, and I don't think I doubt the current playing level is above 50% of like what it started with. They probably dropped at least 50% of their players.
I honestly don't know because it's like one of those games.
It's probably still enough to keep it going, mm-hmm. but I don't think they have
that.
They
yeah.
probably literally have 50% of their But old
right, yeah.
Players.
Well, it's tough to keep, you know, a hunt.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's, right.
It's, and especially at that much people.
Yes. That's the thing, because it's such a large.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Like, to get 100,000 people consistently playing every single day, like, or 200,000
And
people.
You forget, this is, like, technically the first team that made Halo is the one that makes Destiny.
Yeah.
Because it's Bungie.
Everyone loved Destiny. From what I've heard, those games are good.
Bungie finally revealed Destiny 2 Witch Queen expansion today, and it looks like it's exactly what the game needs, even if it won't be launching until February 2022. Witch Queen will focus on Savanthun, the hive god of cunning and trickery and see players explore her throne world as they attempt to finally confront the long-standing Destiny villain who had hit her throat, been confined to the shadows. Savanthon is very real, though. Very tall and absolutely looks to be shaping up to one of the game's most climactic foes in years. Compete with the ability to weird the Traveler's Light. These are just made up words. Like, none of this makes sense. The new annual expansion will bring with it a new glaive weapon type featuring melee combos and projectile attacks, as well as two new dungeons arriving through year five. Even bigger, Destiny 2 is finally getting a crafting system. We don't know much about how it'll work, but players will be able to make their own weapons and improve them over time. It wasn't a fully fledged MMORPG before. It will definitely be one now. Witch Queen's story campaign will also feature a new difficulty system that will scale to the size of your fire team and begin to shift over to the new, more customizable Stasis subclass system, starting with Void. See, this game is just an MMORPG hidden as a shooter. You know, like, it really, and I think that's why it brings in like such a casual audience, yeah, and the MMORPG, because if you like those kind of games, you're already in.
Yeah.
And then they dress it up as a shooter, so it could get people like me and you in, because we'll go in and just shoot our gun 1,000 times at this big monster until it dies.
Yeah.
Where someone else is going to be like a warlock.
Yeah.
That description, though, is very, very detailed, and it makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. I included it because Destiny 2 is so huge. I watched the trailer, but again, I fucking have no clue what's going on.
I've never even played a Destiny, so I have no comparison to it.
This one's for my girlfriend. Stardew Valley is... Oh, fiancé, right?
Oh, yeah. Fiancé, big move.
Stardew Valley is now an eSport with a $40,000 tournament cup announced. This is by James Carr on GameSpot.com. Eric Brohn, the creator of Stardew Valley, has announced the official Stardew Valley Cup, creating an eSports competition for the farming simulator. On Twitter, Barone announced that the competition will consist of four teams of four, each featuring different streamers and speedrunners. Teams will compete to see who can earn the most points by completing different challenges in-game. The winner will take $40,000 worth of prize money. Brohn is holding the competition in collaboration with Zach Unsurpassable Z Hartman, a Stardew Valley content creator. In an announcement video, Hartman detailed the 100 challenges that the teams will be aiming to complete in a 3-hour time span, all starting on a beach farm. The challenges range from completing the different rooms in the community center to reaching the lowest level of the mines. Each challenge is worth a different amount of points based on how difficult it is to complete. Hartman said that the teams will have 2 weeks to make a game plan ahead of the competition. However, Hartman will introduce hidden challenges during the cup to entice competitors to abandon their plans. The event will take place on Hartman's Twitch channel on September 4th at 9 a.m. PT or 12 p.m. Eastern Time, where he and Barone will be commenting on the event. But all the individual competitors will be streaming their own viewpoints. The competition will last 3 hours of real time, and there's no limit on how many in-game days players can go through. The $40,000 prize is provided by Barone, will be split between the four teams, with the winning team getting $28,000 to split between the four team members. Alright, 28,000 divided by four, Dill. Right on the spot.
What is it?
28,000 divided by four.
$7,000.
There you go. So that's how much, if you come in first, you get $7,000 for 3 hours. Stardew Valley has been immensely successful, selling over 10 million copies as of January 2020, so it shouldn't be surprising that people want to turn it into a competition. It was also recently announced that Stardew Valley is coming to Xbox Game Pass later this year. So this is the weirdest esports competition I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy.
It is a farming simulator,
yep,
where you can get married, you can have kids. So it's really just how good of a speedrunner you are. Because, like, some of the stuff they're saying, I can't even believe you can... Because I played hours and hours of Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about, like, reaching the depths of the mine, I'm not even close. And I'm, like, 30 hours in.
I mean, your skill level compared to other people's skill levels, though, is...
Like, a lot better than them? Is that what you're saying I am?
I'd say you're slightly below average.
Slightly below average.
Average.
So only slightly.
But not good. You're not exceptional, not bad either. You're not
bad.
But you're not exceptional.
I'll take not bad.
Like these speedrunners.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, they must know this game back and forth, like the back of their fucking hand. Because there's no other way you know how to complete these tasks unless you're a goddamn pro.
I mean, I think we know someone that could do it.
Who?
TA the GOAT.
No shot.
Ultimate speedrunner.
No shot.
He'd get to the last challenge, not be
There's
able to do it.
There's too much reading involved for him.
He'd get to the last challenge, not be able to do it, and then restart.
I also, like, think about watching this. Do you even think that's fun? This game?
No, God, no.
Right?
That's it. For $7,000.
I love this game. Like, I think it's a really good game.
I think you and the fiance should get into this competition.
No, I really could not do it. I would be stuck on day one.
You guys
still
could
taking care of. I would have to quit my job. I would have to. You, have you ever seen that hypothetical
for
that was like
$7,000? I mean,
if you had 4 years, right? 4 years to train. Which of the Olympic events do you think you could get into and win a medal? You had 4 years to train.
What medal are we talking? Bronze?
Just a medal. So you would have to, yeah, at least get bronze.
Oh my lord. 4 years of training.
4 years of training, but you have to get a goddamn medal.
Throw me in the swim.
You're gonna do swimming?
I was a good swimmer.
I don't think you got the body.
If I did 4 fucking years of swimming.
But those
training,
swimmers are all like 6'3", 6'4".
Fuck you. I'm not worried about a couple inches. You think I'm worried about a couple inches? You're 6'6", I'm 5'10".
You know,
still packing.
I'm taking speed walking.
Is that it?
Yeah. There are so many
men's
stupid
volleyball.
No, dude, those dudes are not. There's even like range. Like, I can't believe you didn't say that, where you have to shoot the gun. I feel like,
I don't know if my target, my prep. I don't know if my aim's on only on video games. I'm consistent.
Clicking skulls and whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if my real aim though is good enough for that.
That's what I don't.
Don't be in the pool, baby. I'm ready to take on the water.
You're screwed if that's what you picked.
I could be Michael Phelps.
No shot.
That's one of the greatest. Ryan Lochte's like 5'8". I could do it.
No, he's not.
I swear he was short.
I don't know if he's short,
nah,
dude.
He definitely was.
Hold on, ready? Ryan Lochte, how tall is he? 6'2".
Ah.
And he was considered short in swimming. You're right. They say he's short.
Damn it.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, he's the same height as me.
Now you're amping yourself up a little bit.
I'll go to my goddamn ID, all right? It says 6'2".
Yeah, yes.
175.
My ID says I weigh 160.
175. All right, last news story of the week. The American Vandal team is working on the Last Dance-style mockumentary about esports. This is by Wesley LeBlanc on IGN.com. The creators of American Vandal are creating a mockumentary in the style of The Last Dance about a fictional pro League of Legends esports team titled Players. This documentary series is being produced by CBS Studios for Paramount Plus, and it will explore the world of esports through a comedic lens. Creators Tony Yasadenda and Dan Peralta will examine esports through a fictional pro League of Legends team aiming to achieve their first championship win. Players is a comedic-style documentary series that follows a fictional pro League of Legends esports team as they pursue their first championship after years of close calls and heartache, a press release reads. To win it all, they will need their prodigy, a 17-year-old rookie, and their 27-year-old veteran to put their egos aside and work together. This series will be produced by CBS Studios in association with Funny or Die, and it will actually reunite Yasenda and Peralta after their work on two seasons of American Vandal. Both will serve as co-creators and executive producers for Players, but Yasenda will also direct the series. Funny or Die's Joe Farrell and Mike Farah will serve as executive producers too, alongside Tim McAuliffe, 3Arts, Aries Lubit, Brillstein Entertainment Pictures. There's too many people. American Vandal season 1 and 2 on Netflix is a mockumentary series about the AV Club. Remember the Mad Shitter?
Did I watch all of that?
Yes,
I watched all of it. Right?
Yeah.
Because I definitely remember
who drew the dicks.
How long ago was that when you brought that up to me about watching that?
Probably 2 years ago.
Because I definitely feel like we watched an episode at my grandparents.
I don't know.
Like my grandpa was in the room with us when we started watching an episode about the dicks.
Yes.
Who drew the dicks.
I feel like he was there for that. It's about the AV Club who finds out about a school controversy and decides to make a documentary series
about someone
who...
Don't they like solve something?
They solve
a mystery?
They solve who drew the dicks.
At the camp... Like, wasn't it something to do with the campground?
So there's...
It was like that girl that was talking to that kid on the campground?
So that's the...
At the docks?
So supposedly, they said the nerdy kid got a hand job
from the pretty
girl.
Yeah, so I definitely watched all that, yeah, because I remember all that.
So
yeah.
Imagine that team making, again, The Last Dance, but instead of it being about Michael Jordan... It's about a gaming team.
Is it the same team, though?
No.
Oh, right.
No, it's the same... It's not the same kids, no.
Oh, all right.
So, but it's the same team that made that show is now making a...
Yeah.
Last Dance joke series about an esports team trying to win the championship on their last year together.
To win it all, they'll need a 17-year-old rookie and a 27-year-old vet to put their egos.
But funny. If you think about it, right? If you see esports teams, it's all like 17-year-olds. Like,
yeah, no, I don't. I told you they signed like a 9-year-old kid to Fortnite.
Yep.
For like $50,000 sign-on bonus, yep. And they're gonna train him for 6 years until he's 17 and can compete in a tournament. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He got like a free $20,000 new computer. They gave him $50,000 sign-on bonus, yep. And now he's getting professionally trained, mm-hmm. probably paid to get trained,
right.
For another 6 years until he gets to compete in a tournament.
Because he's not technically old enough to compete.
I was like, the freaking retarded.
Well, that's
why would you just wait and just be like, hey, hit us up in like 3 years, and why even waste the?
You see, like what you just said sounded so crazy, and we didn't even write it as a joke. That is a real thing. So to make a documentary series making fun of you don't even have to.
It's gonna be hilarious.
You don't even have to make up any jokes. You just have to read real headlines, and you already have your series written.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. That's gonna be funny as hell, though. Because that show was funny as hell. I totally forgot about that show.
The first season is about someone who drew dicks all over the teachers' cars, and they were trying to solve who did that.
Yep.
The second season is someone poisoned the lemonade, and it made everyone have diarrhea.
Maybe I don't even know if I watched the second season.
And
have been a second season when I watched it.
Probably not. Because then that kid went around and started posting the stickers of the poop emoji all over the place.
Why do I feel like, was there like a bum kid in that show? In the first season?
Yeah, he's like part of.
Wasn't he like dating some girl and then she like cheated on him or something like that? Like,
it's so hard to remember. They do things where like.
They go to like her house and like investigate her and she's like. Like the kids that are recorded, I feel like end up revealing that she was cheating on this kid. I just feel like it was like a bum kid that was.
Well, they always like find one extra thing at the end of the episode that like. Breaks the story that they were originally told. Like,
because wasn't it like, did they draw the dicks on like the car in the parking lot? Wasn't it a bunch of dicks on the cars in the parking lot?
That's what season one is. Someone drew dicks all over all
every
the teacher's car.
Yeah, all the teacher's cars. Yeah. And they thought it was that one kid, that bad kid.
They thought it was the bad kid.
They suspend him, and it's not him.
It
that
ends up not
being. In particular,
being,
though, you remember he turns into like a bum after they kick him out of school,
right? Because
he's
was
just like at
famous.
Home and shit.
Yes.
The girl's like, "I'll be with you forever," and then she ends up cheating on him, and then she becomes a suspect.
God,
because they think she set him up,
yep.
To get in trouble for that. Blah,
well,
blah,
that's
blah.
What I mean. It takes so many twists and turns, and
yeah,
it's just
no,
like dumb high schoolers.
Yeah,
shit
was funny. As
it's I honestly think
I swear
their
I,
best comedy series.
I definitely remember. I remember you and me sitting in my grandma's basement. My grandpa coming down saying, "What the hell are you guys watching?" And we said, "We're trying to figure out who drew the dicks." And he was like, "What does that mean?" And we're like, "It's just a shot." I remember that vividly that we watched it there.
Who drew the dicks?
Who drew the dicks?
That's
Mom,
the one question.
It's not real, guys. It's not real.
And then they go there and they try to figure out if it was possible that the guy could have gotten a hand job on the dock without anyone knowing.
Yeah. No, that was funny. Because it was supposed to be like the hot chicken. It was just a random nerd kid sitting on the dock. She was like, "That's not true."
And they were able to prove it.
I think
it.
She ended up saying it was over the pants, though.
Well, that's how they proved it, is because she went and carved his name. Because remember, you're supposed if you hook up with anyone, you had to keep a tally
of
it.
They had to figure out who the kid was by the initials, and it was that nerdy kid. They were like, really? Really? I do remember that was funny. Yeah, no, this shit will be funny. All
right, and that does it for this light news week. I mean, there was a lot at Gamescom, but none of it was really that serious.
I'd rather talk about Spider-Man anyway.
I know
that trailer just hyped me up.
That's the worst. Is like the trailer really did take over the internet for that week. You can find me on Twitter at @AHN_gags.
You could probably find me on Apex. It's been real toxic lately. I don't know if I don't know how much I'll be on, but you might be able to find me at Papa Dill.
Toxic
22.
Or are you just bad?
Stop it.